It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ask J.J. Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Have you played fantasy football before, J.J.?
No, I have not.
Oh.
Never participated.
Do you ever think about it? Someone get it? I'm sure you've been invited to a league here and there. I know the Royals players do one every year.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the season, and when all that stuff starts up, I really don't watch a lot of NFL football until we get into, you know, October, November, just because we're in the season.
And also, like, he doesn't have to play GM like all of us. He is actually a general manager. You know, we don't have to act like we know what we're doing on this stuff.
That's right. That's right. I get to do it real time.
It would maybe it would feel too much like your job. You know, you're like, I don't want to do this on my free time. Trying to do what's a, you know, we asked this to Chiefs players, JJ. We've been up at Chiefs camp the last 2 weeks. We asked this all the time. What hobby do you have? Do you like to cook? Do you golf? Like, I don't think we've ever asked you in all the time we've had you in the show. What kind of hobby do you do?
No, don't really have any hobbies. Just spend time with my wife and my kids when they're at home. We grow out a lot. You know, that seems to be our family thing, to grow out. You know, watch movies, Netflix, that type of thing. But no real true hobby.
All right, back to the Royals itself. Are you watching these games a little bit like differently, if that makes sense? Because I know fans, we can tell, are just locked in, living and dying, pitch by pitch, decision by decision. Does it even feel different for you here in the month of August?
Well, it does. I mean, we're in a playoff race, and that's exciting. You know, you try to remind yourself, you know, just stay in the moment. You know, tonight's game's the most important game on the schedule, and tomorrow will be the most important game on the schedule. And every one of these games matter. I mean, it's we got to try to come out on top, you know, more often than not here to finish up the season and hopefully clinch a playoff berth. So, yeah, you know, you don't watch them differently in the sense that it's not game seven of the World Series. We're not facing elimination. So you're not going to see, you know, like last night's game, you're not going to see Q, you know, go to the bullpen, you know, in the second inning. We still got to think about the long haul and let Brady try to get us through five, which he did. That helps us today. So we still have to stay in the moment because we're not in an elimination position right now. But every game matters, and you know, you do a little bit more of scoreboard watching and see what other clubs are doing. But you know, last night's a good example. It didn't matter what Boston did. Seattle didn't play. We need to win that game, and you know, we didn't. So you pay a little bit of a price, but you got to get back on the horse and go play today.
With Brady Singer on those big innings, it seems like this year, maybe, because he's had a tremendous year, JJ. I think Alex and I both agree on that. But it's when one inning goes bad, it kind of unravels. What is the coaching end of that? What is the GM end of that? How do you guys handle those? And this is not, he's not the first pitcher to go through this, where if things go bad, how do you stop it from getting worse?
Yeah, I think if we had the answer to that, we would certainly give it to Brady or any pitcher, but it's part of the game. You know, you see pitchers go through, you know, a little lapse. I think, you know, the more frustrating part, and this is not geared towards Brady, it's those two out rallies. You know, you're an out away from getting away out of the inning. In that case last night, he's a pitch away from getting out of the inning with nobody on. He had really good stuff last night. I mean, it's a really odd line. I mean, he goes five innings, he gives up six runs, he punched out nine. You know, so he had good stuff last night. But you know, the obvious thing is when you get to two outs, is there a little bit of a letdown and you're moving on to the next inning before you finished that inning? And I think that it has something to do with it whenever you see a pitcher go through that. And then you go back and you dissect the inning. You know, why a breaking ball to Carlos Santana? You know, Jeffers, get the ball out of the zone. I mean, you start like trying to find moments in the game. But, you know, really it was early in the game. So if you're going to fall behind early at all, you'd rather do it early because you got the whole game to make it up. Unfortunately, they were able to tack another couple runs on and we weren't able to catch up.
We're talking to Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo here, and our conversations with J.J. are brought to you by Technology Group Solutions, helping your business thrive in a connected world. That's TGS. The bullpen, we all know, I mean, every time we have you on, I think we're talking about the bullpen. Now, fast forward, it's been 2 weeks since we had you on the show. What are your thoughts on what you've now seen this bullpen do, specifically Urseg? You guys seemingly are using him just in the highest leverage spots, whether that's the ninth inning, whether that's the seventh inning, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Q's doing. And if you look back to when we were in Detroit, he came in the sixth inning, you know, and I'm watching the game thinking, all right, why are we bringing him here? But when you reflect on that moment in the game, that was a momentum swinger. If we don't close that inning out there, we may be behind and you don't even get to Urseg in the eighth, and Harvey wasn't on the IL at that point. You don't get to them in the eighth and ninth because you're behind. So you're pitching differently. So, you know, having both Urseg and Harvey, two new additions, you know, allows Q to feel confident in going to Urseg. And a lot of it just depends on the matchups. I mean, the times that he's come in the non-ninth inning situations, which is really just every outing except for the last one where he finished the eighth and then went to the ninth, he faced the heart of the order. You know, so he was facing what should be the most difficult part of the order. If he goes 1-2-3 in those innings, now whoever comes in is facing either 4-5-6 or, you know, 5-6-7, and you can get to the ninth without really turning that lineup over. So, you know, I commend Q for the way he's using them. I think we've won some games because of the way he's used them. And once we get Harvey back, we'll feel a lot better about the depth of our bullpen. And of course, John Schreiber is going on a rehab assignment tomorrow night in Northwest Arkansas. And, you know, mind having him back as early as this weekend, but if not, certainly by the Angels series.
You mentioned Hunter Harvey. He's on the IL with a back issue. My understanding was that this is not the same maybe back issue that he had, 2 weeks ago or right after the All-Star break, something like that. It's not something he dealt with in D.C.? Is this just a new thing?
It's a new thing. You know, I think he's had some minor soreness, but not where it's prevented him from pitching. So this is new, learning how to deal with it. And whenever a player goes through a new injury, they're trying to learn how they navigate through it as well. You know, and a lot of times I think players may just be, you know, a little bit cautious because they don't want it to get worse. So, and that's where we've got to step in and say, you know what, this is the right time to IL him. Let's put it behind him. Let's get him, you know, through these 15 days on the IL. And then when we get back home after the next homestand, I think it's Philadelphia, he'll be back and he'll be healthy and hopefully put that behind him for good.
I think we'll ask you about Bobby Wood Jr. again in a minute. Really cooled off, you know, only hitting like 383 or whatever this month, JJ. But on the opposite side, to lead off, we talked a lot about that in Michael Massey. You mentioned the back stuff. Seemed like you guys had a scare. He had the back thing flare up, but then he only missed a game. Is he starting to figure out how to manage that even better? Or is it just like, oh, it was a little tight, feels good, and then we just get to move on?
Yeah, Michael does know how to manage it. He's actually done it, you know, manage it since the day we signed him. It's just when it comes on, there's like different levels of how much it bugs him. And, you know, this time he did a great job telling our medical staff, hey, I feel it a little bit, but if I can just get today, knowing Sunday's off, I think I'll be ready by Monday. And when he got up Monday morning, he felt great, and we were able to play him last night. So that helps us as well. It doesn't mean we won't look for opportunities to give him a day off. We do have pretty much every Thursday off. It might be every Thursday the rest of the way. So that's going to help out. And then if we can get him another day off somewhere in there, we'll get him through the season. It's just getting ahead of it. And that's where Michael, knowing his body and knowing how to manage it, really helps us. And we can help him get through the season and hopefully October.
We know one of the other options at leadoff for you this year has been Mikel Garcia. The broadcast made a great point of it last night. I hadn't realized he started going to the opposite field a ton. Was that part of the mid-season adjustment for him? Is that his best version? What do you make about him going the other way more?
No question. It's his best version. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the season when he was really swinging the bat well. There was a lot of base hits to right field and then a couple homers that he pulled to left. But when he's on plane with his swing, you know, and last night I thought he did a really good job. He missed a couple fastballs, but he was on them. He just fouled them back. But there's an adjustment that he's made. He's using the whole field. And when he does that, he's a good hitter. He's a really good hitter. And, you know, it's just a matter of him maturing as a hitter to understand, how do I stay out of these prolonged periods of time where I'm not getting hits? The more he can remind himself more quickly, even though our coaches are telling him that when he gets in the box, I got to think about the right center field gap. He will have shorter time, you know, shorter periods of time where he's not swinging the bat well, because he does go the other way exceptionally well, and his swing plays that way. That's if you really break down the mechanics of the swing, it plays to right field. So when we see him doing that, we know he's locked in where he should be, and he's going to be productive.
I felt like last night was another example, though, of MJ Melendez just showing the improvement that he's made playing in the outfield. Again, once again, great timing on, you know, saving a potential home run or making a catch there right at the wall. His progression defensively, how much have you guys seen from that, and how much has that also maybe allowed him to, here in the last month, month and a half, play some better baseball, even at the plate?
Yeah, well, he's a more complete player now, right? I mean, it's left field was new to him last year. He was learning it on the fly. He'd got very little time in the minor leagues. And playing left field at Kauffman Stadium is difficult. That corner is very difficult to play. You know, it's perfectly, you know, it's symmetrical, so that part's nice, but it still gets deep really fast. But his athleticism is the reason why we thought he could do it and play at a level that was above average, and he's a tick above average right now, according to our information. And you know, he took a lot of pride in it. You know, he realized that this is the position I'm going to play for this team, so I need to dive in and put the work in and become a solid defender, because defense is a big part of our formula. It's pitching and defense, and we don't want to have to defend for MJ late in the game. We want his bat in there, because majority of the time you're facing a right-handed closer and you want him to come up late in the game. So that helps us altogether, you know, being a more complete player. We have to make less moves, and he fits really well when he's playing good defense like he has this year.
JJ, I told you I'd ask about Bobby Witt Jr. We just finished watching the Olympics, and the U.S. men's basketball team is the second rated, or the Kansas City was the second highest rated market for the U.S. men's gold medal game. Looking forward to the 2028 Olympics, when baseball will actually be in it. Should Major League Baseball look to stop for 2 weeks so that guys like Bobby Witt Jr. can showcase themselves in an event like that versus going to the amateur level?
Yeah, that question's above my pay grade. that's something I think our commissioner and the powers that be have to decide if that's something we're going to do. I know with our schedule, the NHL does it, and they're probably somewhat maybe the most similar schedule, you know, in other of the other sports. But it creates a major void in the middle of the season to not play for 2 weeks, and it's however many games, 12 games, could be 14 games. And I don't know how we do that, because now you're pushing the season, you know, regular season back into October. Now you're getting into cold weather. And it may lead to something that, you know, I don't think any of our fans would want. It may lead to a neutral site World Series, you know, and I think that's what makes our game really cool compared to the Super Bowl. You know, you want your fans to witness a World Series game, not have to travel thousands of miles and spend thousands of dollars to do it. So there could be a side effect that may not set well with the fan base. So, but as I said, that's just my opinion on it. I don't know where it's going to go. I think it'd be fun to see our players compete against, you know, all the best players in the other countries, but I don't know if it's worth doing it at the expense of the regular season.
JJ Pecola, Royals general manager, kind enough to join us as he does every couple weeks here on the show. Appreciate it. And we'll check in a little bit closer to September.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.